How's that?
It's good.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, good. Good morning, everybody. What a great group. Beautiful group. Wings. I hadn't really heard too much about Wings, and I'm just so impressed to see so many people here, women of faith coming together. You even let a couple men in. I see in the back, they snuck in back there. And I know the men, so the introduction was great. Thank you, Liz. I really appreciate it. And the prayer of humility was outstanding as well. And one of the humbling things that I just noticed on my first slide is that I misspelled my own name. Yeah. There's an A before the E. So thank you for the prayer of humility, and thank you for reminding me that it's important to be humble in life. And I put a picture up. Is one of the guys, Sonny, are you in there? That was our pilgrimage to Rome this year. We took in February with some deacons, and Mr. Sonny Del Rosario, who introduced me to Liz, is here today, and he joined us. And it was a beautiful experience for this year of hope that we're in, this year of Jubilee. But anyhow, I just wanted to start with that theme of being pilgrims, being on a journey of discipleship. And that's really the focus of the talk today. And I'll be going through it. If we can go to the next slide. Here's the outline. We'll talk about, we did prayer already. I won't pray again. It's always good to pray, but in the essence of time, we'll skip the prayer that I had in mind. And in a little bit of introduction about me, and then discipleship as well. So how many of you know the mission statement of your parish? Don't ask me the mission statement of my parish. I wouldn't know, so I'm not shocked. How many of you know the mission of the Diocese of Orange? Even fewer, right? If you can go lower than zero, right? I'm not surprised. I've asked this to a lot of people in the talks that I give. Mission statements are that way. If you work for a company, I worked in business for a long time, we pay these consultants to develop these beautiful mission statements. They're very well crafted, and then they kind of get put on a shelf somewhere, and nobody ever looks at them. We just go on with our daily lives and moving forward. But the Diocese of Orange has a mission statement that's worth knowing. It's something that you should all have in your hearts, and maybe something that you're doing already in your life. Coming here is part of that. So I'd like to share that with you. It's not like any other mission statement you'll find in a corporation, because it comes from the inspired Word of God, from sacred scripture, Matthew 28. I think it's on the next slide. I don't have the order. Oh, that's about me, by the way, before we get to that. My daughter got married June 28th, and that's Gabriella, our oldest daughter, and I finally got a son. I had three daughters and a wife, and so we're very happy, and they live close to us. And my other two daughters are here. One's a substitute teacher in the area here, and the other one's a student at Cal State Fullerton. So that's my family. Surrounded by women my whole life, now I have a man to talk to you in the house as well, around the house. So I think, yes, blessed am I. Yes, I thank you for that. Yes, it is a blessing again here today. Thank you. Blessed are you amongst women. Yeah. Among women. <Yeah. laughs> Yes. All right. So next one. This is the mission statement of the Diocese of Orange. And it's from Matthew 28. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he had already resurrected from the dead, said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you." And then we add something. We say, we are diverse Catholics united in Christ. We follow the gospel's call, live out our faith, and share our lives in service to others. Isn't that beautiful? But remember the words of Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Think about the history of our church, how we started with Jesus and 12 people who were kind of a mix of people from all different walks of life, not necessarily the most gifted people, the most talented people, but Jesus chose them to go forward and begin to make disciples from a very small part of the world to all corners of the world. When I look at the faces, I see different ethnicities, different backgrounds. Think about where we've come from and how we're united here in Jesus Christ because of that mission. That's your mission. This is called the Great Commission by Jesus Christ, and he gives it to each and every one of us. So I'd like you to remember, if you remember nothing else, remember your mission by Jesus Christ, given through the church in Orange, to go out and make disciples. Now, before you can go out and make disciples, don't you need to be a disciple yourself? You need to know the Lord. You need to love the Lord so you can go out and bring others into that love as well. And that's what I'd like to talk a little bit more about. And on the next slide, we'll see something about you. That is you. Wink, did you see the story of the eagles in Big Bear? Wasn't that beautiful? How they were born and then they flew away and they're soaring in the sky. It kind of captivated the attention of probably millions of people on YouTube. And there's something about an eagle's wings that are very, very powerful. And I see that power in your group because you've come here to learn. You've come here to grow in your faith. You've come here to serve. I hear serving the poor, serving in different ways. You're talking about the corporal works of mercy. It's a powerful witness coming out of your Belinda. And I'm just so uplifted by your wings to be here with you. And on this memorial, this feast day of the great St. Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, we remember him today. And there was something I read recently. I think it's on the next slide. One more. Here we go. It's a little picture I have in our house with the relic of St. Pope John Paul II. He wrote on September 14th, 1998, on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, he wrote a document. It's an encyclical called Fides et Ratio, on faith and on reason. And we rely on our faith, we rely on our reason to know God, to understand the truth. And he wrote this: faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. And God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth. In a word, to know himself, so that knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of truth about themselves. So there it is, the wings that allow you to soar, to ascend to the truth. And when you know the truth that God has revealed to us throughout the ages, that he reveals to each and every one of you in a very unique and special and profound way, there's so many different methods, how can you help but not be a disciple and go out and share that love with the whole world and make them disciples as well? So you, without maybe being so familiar with this document, are following it. You're responding in faith to a promise that the Lord has given you. You're responding by coming here to learn something maybe about your faith. You're using your reason, and you're also responding in faith. Our reason only gets us so far in life. We realize that we've been given a great gift to be able to think and reason and understand things, but we get to a certain limit. And when we get to that limit, it's God through his revelation, through his grace. And if we're open to that, we can ascend to a truth, to something that's truly beautiful. So that's something about wings there that ties into your name and to what you're doing here today. On the next slide, we talk about discipleship. I'd like to talk about the challenge of discipleship, and we'll save that to the end for your discussion, more the challenges that you have. The way to discipleship, Jesus gives a very specific formula for being a disciple. If somebody asks you, are you a disciple? Well, yeah, I go to Mass. I practice my faith. I do this. I do that. But Jesus gives 3 points to being a disciple. And I'm going to give you those points today. You've heard them before, but in a very focused way today. And we'll talk about why. What's the blessing of being a disciple? And you probably have your own answers already. So let's get right into it. The next slide. Here are the 3 points, the 3 ways of being a disciple. Then he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do 3 things. Deny himself, or in this case, herself. Take up his or her cross each and every day. Luke has the word daily. Mark doesn't have the word daily. Luke added that. Daily. There's something about daily there. And follow me. So again, let's repeat them. What's the first one? Deny yourself. Second one? Take up your cross. Daily. Oh, yeah. And third is follow me. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look. This all begins in Luke chapter 9. I have 9:23 here. But in 9:18, right before that, and that's why I have my computer up here, USCCB's Bible, Gospel of Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked, who do the crowds say that I am? And they said in reply, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets that has arisen. And then he said to them, who do you say that I am? And did we know Peter's response? He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And that answer that Peter gave, the first pope, we remember St. Pope John Paul II, but the first pope was given that from God. It was revealed to him. And he was able to give that answer that nobody else had given at that time. And Jesus went on in 9:22 to say, the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. And after he gave him that message, that first prediction of his passion and his death and his resurrection, that's huge news. That's the biggest news of our faith. And Jesus gives it to them right there. And then he's talking to them and he says, if you want to come after me and be killed and be raised on the third day and enjoy this gift of eternal life and salvation, you must do these 3 things. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. So maybe we can go to the next slide. Denying oneself. What does that mean? I put up a picture here of the Annunciation, the greatest woman of all time, Mary, our Blessed Mother, of denying herself. Denying yourself means not living for yourself, but living for others. How many of you are mothers here? That's what I figured, a good number of you, yes. Or aunts, or teachers, or serving others in some way. But as a parent, you give yourself in the most profound way, especially as a mother, you give yourself in the most profound way. And that's maybe one of the best examples that we can think of Jesus giving himself out to us. Jesus emptied himself. He gave everything as God and man to us. Where did he give everything to us? On the cross. He suffered humiliation. He suffered abuse. He suffered torture. And he gave himself to us. He poured out his blood for us. There's a suffering there. When you surrender your will, you're giving something to others. We talked about visiting the sick, visiting the poor, visiting the hungry, feeding the hungry, or visiting the incarcerated. When you see somebody like that, what's the easy thing to do? I've got this appointment. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I'm tired. But when you see it, somebody you need, what do? You respond through the grace of God. And we're called to follow Jesus, not by giving a little, what's left over. I'll give a can of peas that I haven't eaten in a year. I don't need that. That's not a bad thing. But Jesus is calling us to dig deep, to give everything that we can to that person, just as your child at 2 a.m. is crying in the crib, you get up and you go out and you serve with love. Why? Because you love. And that's the kind of love that, God is calling us to. Denying our own will and serving Him and serving others. We see that throughout Scripture, starting in Leviticus 19 in the Holiness Code. There's a lot of talk in there about right worship, worship in the temple, but it doesn't stop there. God tells the people of Israel, and He tells us to go visit the poor, visit the sick, visit the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, and help them, to give them something of yourself. So there's a sacrifice in denying oneself. I'm trying to give you a picture of what that means in your daily life. And I see elements of that in what you're doing here as a group, which is so beautiful. On the next slide, we see the second element, which is taking up your cross, another picture we have in our home. This is the image of the one that St. Peregrine prayed in front of when he had cancer. It's a repainting of that, of Mary and John at the foot of the cross. Picking up your cross involves accepting some suffering. What do we say when you have suffering? Offer it up. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Suffering comes. We love our lives that God has given us. We love our bodies that God has given us, our health to enjoy. But yes, we get older. I like to go for a walk, and today I tried to jog and I was feeling good, and I start walking in the final stretch, and what I do, I trip over a rock, and I fell down, and I hurt my knee. I said, well, I'm getting older. Yeah, I'm getting older now, and I can't do the things that I used to do. The aches and pains come, right? More serious things come. Illness comes. Death comes in our families. It's a certain thing in all of our lives. How do you respond to that? Do you close up? Do you shut down? Or do you continue to go forward in faith and saying, Jesus, I offer this to you as a way to unite my heart to yours. You suffered on the cross for us. You entered our world to teach us, to heal us, to save us, to drive out demons, to redeem us, to give your life for us on the cross. And in that offering, you suffered. And I offer my heart and my suffering so that I can become more like you and love more like you and receive the love that you're offering me right now in this very difficult time. And Liz, God bless you for being here. I know many others of you have suffering right now as well in your lives, and you're witnessing to that, of offering it up, of taking up your cross each and every day. In taking up your cross, you also experience some rejection, some persecution. What does it mean to be pro-life? It means that we honor, respect, uphold life from conception all the way to natural death, and everything in between. And not just one life, but every single life matters. And that doesn't always fit neatly into our family's beliefs. It doesn't always fit neatly into the political party that we identify with. On all parties of the political spectrum, they fall short of what the Catholic Church teaches. We're called to be disciples, to follow what the Church has given us, what Jesus Christ and the Gospel, what the Scriptures are giving us. And when we do that authentically and with courage, we're going to face some rejection. We're going to face some ridicule, and we might even face some persecution. But we can do that with joy. We can do that with peace. We can do that with great hope, as we see in the martyrs who, when they're facing death, they've got that peace in them that we can't describe. They've got a smile on their face because they know the promise that's ahead of them. They've seen the glory of God. And that's something that gives us great hope to take up our cross each and every day, to be courageous in our faith. On the next slide, we see the third element, which is, and follow me. So where was Jesus going when all this was happening? He was on the way to the cross. He was on his way to his passion, his death, and his resurrection. And who did he see on the way? Sick people, people who were experiencing difficulties. They were possessed. And he was helping them. He was dining with them. He was teaching them. He was healing them. That's where Jesus is going. Imagine walking to downtown LA from here, and then from downtown LA out to Riverside. That's kind of like the distance Jesus was walking, and people were following him. They weren't following him like that movie, remember Forrest Gump, when he just starts running without any aim, and people start following him, and he kind of looks around and says, "What are you doing here? I don't have a purpose. I'm just running for the sake of running." Now, Jesus was on a mission to redeem us, to save us, to do something that was so profound that we can hardly grasp. And he's saying, "Come follow me. Follow me on the way to all these destinations, which aren't exactly garden spots, but there's great meaning to what I'm doing here. And on the way, we're going to stop, and I'm going to teach you what's really important in life. I'm going to teach you how to be holy. I'm going to teach you how to become saints. I'm going to show you something that you've never seen in the world. And ultimately, when you get to heaven, you're going to see, experience a beatific vision and have a profound joy and peace that surpasses our human ability to comprehend. It's that beautiful. But follow me along the way. Accept the sacrifice. Accept the persecution, because the reward is indescribable. And we get a taste of that here on earth. We get the fullness of it when we're in heaven." Next slide. And that's the blessing. So I focused on Luke 9, now Luke 10, the blessing. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. "For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." What are the blessings that you're seeing as disciples in your life? I've seen a lot this morning. What are the blessings that you're hearing? You're encountering Jesus in the Mass. You're encountering Jesus here in this community. You're encountering Jesus in the poor that you serve, in the incarcerated that you serve. And incarcerated is not always just those who are in the four walls of the jail. It's those who are slaves, who are incarcerated to sin, to oppression. And you have the opportunity to liberate them and see that liberation flourish, especially in this year of hope. I'll wrap it up in a minute. Two stories. In my introduction, Liz says I oversee the ministry of ordained deacons for the bishop and for the diocese. And last night we were talking to some deacons. We were doing what we call ministry reviews. And Deacon Dennis will know the pain of these ministry reviews, and Peggy as well. They're not painful. We're trying to talk to deacons and wives about their ministry. And there was a very humble couple last night. They're retired in our age group. And they're involved in the OCIA ministry. And just quiet people, you would never suspect anything extraordinary out of them. But they give themselves, they deny themselves, they surrender their will to the church, and they serve. And they told me about a man who was on drugs, addicted to drugs, and was trying to overcome that. And he entered this, at that time it was called RCIA, now OCIA. He wanted to become Catholic. There was something stirring in him, and they simply journeyed with him. They taught the classes, they accompanied him. And he was baptized, he was brought into the church during the Easter Vigil. It was a joyous occasion. And what's next? They said, "Well, how about becoming an usher and getting involved in a couple things?" And he did that. And what do you know? The next year, he brought his brother in for the same thing, to be baptized. And the year after that, he brought his mother in to be baptized. He was touched that profoundly. He had left his past behind. He became a disciple of Christ. That man is now in his third or fourth year of priestly formation. He's going to be a priest in our area here soon, God willing. Isn't that something? Two disciples making another disciple. Somebody who's going to be a priest, who's going to make a lot of disciples someday. That's how this story is coming together, through witness of things like what you're doing here. I heard a call for a catechist today. Maybe that story will inspire you to go out and lead somebody to be a disciple at a very young age. Another story that showed me with a man who was a Buddhist, wanted to become Catholic, become baptized, and he was into his process, and what happens? He gets called, deployed to go to Afghanistan. And he was killed in Afghanistan. He had a desire to be baptized. They were shipping his body back. And the family, who is Buddhist, says, well, we're going to have a Buddhist funeral. But the pastor of that parish says, well, he had a baptism of desire. Let's give him a Catholic funeral. Let's see if the family's open to that. And they said yes. This Buddhist family said yes. And they had the most beautiful Christian funeral for this man. And the church took care of everything, all the details. The family had no clue about how to do this funeral. It was such a gift. It was such a beautiful thing that this Buddhist family were touched by the heart, in their hearts. They said, this is what Catholics do? We want to be Catholic. So this man who was coming to be Catholic was killed in battle protecting our nation, fighting for freedom and justice, was on his way to heaven, and now his family is on the way to heaven as disciples. This is our Catholic Church in action. You're a part of that. You're invited to be part of that mission. You're not just invited. You've been given a commission by Jesus Christ to do these types of things in your life. So to deny yourself, to pick up your cross, to follow Jesus every day in these types of actions. Sounds like work, right? But remember the blessing. And I just gave you two little examples of the blessing. Things that we see, things that we hear, that tell us that Jesus is the truth. He's the way, he's the life. This is why we're here, my sisters and my brothers in the back. This is our purpose in life. And it's a great purpose to know and to love and to serve God, to enjoy this peace that is difficult for the world to understand. But I think we know something about that in our hearts. So today, remember your great commission to go out and to make disciples of all nations, to be disciples yourselves first, and enjoy that way to the cross and to eternal life through the power of the resurrection. So that's my talk for you this morning. Be disciples. Make disciples of all nations. And you're doing that now. I've created a few discussion questions. I think they might be on the next slide. Oh, that was also in Luke 10. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all everything you've got. And love your neighbor as yourself. That was a response to what is the greatest commandment. That's the Shema prayer. Jews pray that twice a day to remember. We can pray this one as well. Loving is not just an emotion, but it's going out and serving and making disciples. And the next slide. Some things that you're already doing for discipleship. Prayer, study, devotions, attending Mass, the sacrament of reconciliation. These are not new to you, but I put them up just as a simple reminder. And the last one doesn't mean it's less important, but it's to serve, to go out and love through service. And then finally, next slide, thank you. And then we have some discussion questions for you to talk. The discussion questions are, you know, that it's very important to be a disciple. You know it's a beautiful thing to be a disciple and to go out and make disciples. Look inward now. What's challenging you? You know yourself. What keeps you from being a disciple? It's important to name your shortcomings so that you can ask for grace to overcome them. Maybe it's indifference sometimes. Maybe it's selfishness sometimes, or some other thing that you've got. We've all got challenges. It's important to name those and bring those to your prayer as well. Second question is, knowing our culture today, outside of these four walls, what are the cultural forces that are keeping you and others from being disciples? And the final question is, what is the blessing that you've seen in your life? What is the blessing that you've heard in your life? Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for what you've seen. Blessed are your ears for what you've heard. Talk about that as well. I gave you a couple stories. You've seen them yourself. So I offer you that opportunity if there's time to have those discussions. So I think that's it. I thank you very much for your attention and your time and your hospitality. I'll keep praying for you.